show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Thursday, March 1st, 2012. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Dan's in the control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about, so probably want to start with some very sad news. As you probably have already heard, Andrew Breitbart passed away last night, conservative blogger, very much keyed in with some of the more corporatized versions of blogging, was a co-founder of Huffington Post, ran several websites, was actually one of the bloggers that the corporate media seemed to be like and fond of. Now, Andrew and I didn't agree on a lot of things. He had a very different view of the Occupy movement than I do, but it's still very sad when a young man passes away and leaves a family behind him. And so it's kind of a little bit sad. Now, people have been sending me all these videos where Andrew Breitbart was saying, I have college films of Barack Obama, and they show he was a real radical, and we're going to go on and on. And the implication is that somebody might have had a reason to get rid of Andrew Breitbart, which is kind of a foregone conclusion. All of us out here in the alternative media, there are people who hate us, wish we would go away to an orbit of eternal grace, or the dark regions in a lot of cases, consign us down below special delivery. So that's a given. There's always somebody who wants to do you harm, and that's simply something we've all come to understand and accept as the price of doing what we do. And after a while, it's just so much noise. You don't even pay attention to the threats and stuff anymore. But as of right now, it looks to me like this really was natural causes, which is what they're reporting. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, how can they report that quickly? Unless he was attended by a doctor, there must be an autopsy. Might have been witnessed by his family. It sounds like he might have had some kind of an incident at home. Can we rule out foul play in this election year? No, we can't, and we shouldn't. But on the other hand, let us remember that young people do pass away. I lost my youngest brother this last year, and he wasn't all that much older than Andrew. And we don't know what medications Andrew was on. He may have been taking some of those pills where the TV commercial at the very end, the guy with the fast voice says, you're out of your mind to be taking this stuff. It'll make you know. Andrew could have been taking the same stuff my youngest brother was taking. And there's kind of this unwritten rule among medical examiners. While doctors will eventually come to say that certain medications are causing deaths, like yesterday we reported on that story where people on some of the most popular prescription sleeping aids out there are four times more likely to die of certain things that could be construed as natural causes, no doctor will ascribe a specific individual death to a specific individual product, because at that point the lawyers all become tumescent and the lawsuits start flying. So there's sort of an understanding that we may generally say this medication is not as good as we used to think it is, but individual deaths are always said, well, we think it was natural causes and we're not going to look any further than that. So we may be looking at that. We understand in this day and age in our society, young people can die from a wide variety of things, a lot of which are being sold to them over the counter by the pharmaceutical companies. And for whatever reason, though, Andrew Breitbart was a major figure in conservative blogging. My understanding is that the organization that he built and was a figurehead to plans to continue without him. But still, it's a little upsetting when we see somebody with this much visibility taken away. Pardon me from... there we go. I'm trading texts with our control room technician, who just only now got an inside joke we've been using for many, many years. So, anyway, we're going to take a break for commercials. We're going to be right back. Join us on the air. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Oregacillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I know over the last couple of weeks, everybody's getting very concerned about their online privacy. Google has now implemented their new privacy policy, which is basically saying you have no more privacy anymore. That's the policy. We're just now finding out that apparently Twitter has been saving everybody's tweets since they went into business, and now they're selling those to marketing firms, and it's just this incredible flood of information about you that is being made available all over the net to marketers so they can target things to you in the ads that you see on various websites. The concern is that some of this information might be used for nefarious purposes, and there's no control on it whatsoever. There's no control on any of this information and where it goes right now. And, of course, we deal with the reality that the government's probably peeking over their shoulders all the time, unless you're able to set up your own virtual private network with encrypted tunneling. Anytime you go online, even with one of these privacy browsers on your machine, once it goes out to your ISP, everything you're doing is being saved and scanned. Now, there's been a court decision. And in this case, I'm not as concerned about it as you might think. And you know I'm a privacy advocate, and I want the government to leave me alone and mind its own gosh darn business. But there was a court decision coming out of an arrest in Indiana, which found some cell phones at the scene of a drug bust, and they went into the cell phone to get the cell phone's telephone number, with which they then got a proper warrant to go to the phone company and get the owner's call histories, which then linked them to the drug selling operation. So far, so good. One of the suspects, a guy by the name of Abel Flores Lopez, who got a 10-year sentence in prison, argued on appeal the police had no right to search the phone's contents without a warrant. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit basically said the phone per se was not being searched. They simply turned it on to get the phone number, and they didn't consider that to be a serious intrusion of privacy. And in this case, I have to agree, because when you have a phone number, it's something that you don't keep private. You do make it public among certain individuals, or you never get a phone call. And so in this case, you know, I don't want to overreact and jump at everything and say that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. I think for the police to simply want to get the phone number off of your phone, I mean, they could have gone to the carrier and just said, we've got this guy named Flores Lopez, what's his phone number? Then they could have gotten the warrant. So I think that was a case of a very trivial argument on appeal. And in this case, I think that's a reasonable thing to do here. All righty, let's talk about the economy a little bit. And China's share of reserves in the U.S. dollar continues to dive. China is trying to get out from all the debt the U.S. government owes them. They're selling that debt to other people who aren't really paying attention to what's going on. They're not paying attention to the U.S. dollar. They're not paying attention to Bernanke's overprinting. And the Chinese are just trying to, they may be even selling the debt at fire sale prices, pennies on the dollar, just to get out from under it. Because I think from China's point of view, it's pretty much a given that the U.S. is never going to pay them back, never going to be able to pay them back, would prefer to go to war rather than try and pay that debt back. War is the low-cost alternative at this point when you're talking about this amount of money that's involved here. Over in Great Britain, pensioners are discovering that their pension plans, which were basically investing in things like the mortgage-backed securities. Remember, the Wall Street's rating agencies rated these as AAA investments. Now, I'm not sure about the law in Great Britain, but I do know that in the United States of America, pension funds are only allowed by law to invest in AAA rated investments so that the lowest possible risk is involved to the pensioners' money, because they're not going to live long enough to rebuild their lives and build a second retirement. That's the harsh reality. Well, apparently those reaching pension age now in Great Britain are going to be getting almost £5,000 less a year because of the fallout from the mortgage-backed security fraud. That works out to about $7,000, $8,000 a year. If you're an American retiree, you know, could you take another $8,000 a year hit? Probably not. So these people are really suffering. And again, they paid into the system. They played by the rules. Wall Street pulled off the biggest financial crime in history. The governments don't want to prosecute or investigate because then they'd have to admit that they let it happen in the first place. And so the Wall Street billionaires keep their ill-gotten gains, and ordinary people who had nothing to do with this are being made to bear the costs, the price, if you will. That's not capitalism. That is fascism here. Now, here's a little story. We talk about, you know, the arguments between the 99% and the 1% and a certain degree of arrogance and hostility and cold-heartedness. And there's this interesting story. There's this woman in New York, very, very wealthy, lives in a 34-room, 30,000-square-foot mansion. I saw a picture of it. It's actually been used in movies. She is facing a federal criminal charge regarding the fact that she had this illegal alien as a domestic servant in what is being described as a forced labor situation that included 17-hour days, 7 days a week, and she was required to sleep in this walk-in closet. 34-room, 30,000-square-foot mansion. They're making this illegal alien domestic sleep in a walk-in closet. They couldn't come up with one extra room just as a courtesy. This is your lifestyles of the 1%. This is money junkieism on display. These are seriously ill, diseased, sick people. Because you can just see right there, doesn't matter how much she has, it's not enough. She's got to squeeze a few more pennies out of whatever here. Now, as I mentioned a little while ago with this thing about China getting out of its debt and they're printing, the Federal Reserve is overprinting this money. Somebody wrote in following my discussion about how every time they run that printing press at the Federal Reserve, it's taking real purchasing power out of your pocket. The money that you have already earned, that is already in your savings account or already in your wallet, that should be yours and under your control, is being devalued by remote control at a distance from the Federal Reserve banks. And somebody wrote in with this article saying, basically, this is another form of taxation. Inflation is a form of taxation because it's taking real purchasing power from you, the American people, and transferring it someplace else. And you have no control over this. You are not allowed to say no. You're not even allowed to say where this money is going to be spent, and it's certainly not being spent on your benefit. So it is. I agree with this article. Inflation is a form of tax without representation. It's a covert tax. They don't even want to call it that. They're just saying, oh, well, this is the tax, and this is the inflation, and these are the fees, and this is the excise, and they call all of this stuff different names, and they try and break it up into little tiny pieces so you don't see the true scale of the looting that's going on. But it is. Inflation is another form of tax, and it's taxation without representation, and taxation not for the benefit of the American people. So you ought to be very, very angry about that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Netanyahu. He's heading over this way to basically lay down the law for Barack Obama and apparently also for Stephen Harper. And that's going to create a little three-way piece of friction, as it were, regarding the upcoming war or non-war on Iran. We're still not sure what's going on. But I want to start out here. Do you remember when there was a botched translation of something that Iran's Ahmadinejad said? And we were told, he said, I want to wipe Israel off of the map. And what a hue and cry the press made about it. How dare he? We must kill him immediately. We have to destroy his nation. He's the new Hitler. He wants to wipe Israel off the map. Blah, blah, blah. And they went on for, and they're still playing it every once in a while. Even though we all know that is not what Ahmadinejad said. And what he actually said was, the regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time, which is quite a bit different from saying, I'm going to come on over there and wipe you off the map. So you're with me so far on this. And even though it was a mistranslation, and even though everybody knows it was a mistranslation, the media was saying, how dare Ahmadinejad say that? So this brings us to the present day, where Netanyahu is up in Switzerland on the occasion of building an Israeli railway there. Apparently Israel is building railways all over the world and making lots of money. And so you're kind of wondering, why do they still need checks from us? And so the German newspaper Die Zeit interviewed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who told them that for the new map of the world that they are bringing into being, there will be no Lebanon. In fact, the translated quote is, you have a look at the new map of the world and see that there is no nation with this name. So now we have Netanyahu basically saying he's going to wipe Lebanon off the map. And I'm sitting here with hand cupped to ear, waiting to hear the howls of outrage from the American media. Now that Netanyahu is talking about wiping Lebanon off the map, let us all put our hands to our ears and lean very closely to our TV sets and I'm not hearing anything right now about that. A little bit of a double standard going on with our media, a little bit of hypocrisy. Ahmadinejad can be accused of saying wipe Israel off the map, and it's a mistranslation, and everybody howls and screams, and the drool is dripping off their fangs. They're just ready to go for him. Netanyahu can be quoted in the German press saying that he sees Lebanon gone from the map. Nobody says anything. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events. How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about what's going on with Netanyahu as he comes over here to the side of the ocean to, basically whip the houseboys into obedience here. So Netanyahu's basically expected to press Obama to threaten Iran with military action. Netanyahu's also visiting Canada to request exactly the same thing from Stephen Harper. And this is creating a little bit of a three-way friction here. See, Netanyahu is trying to convince Obama that attacking Iran will help his election chances in November. Obama is astute enough to understand that America is war-weary. We don't want another war. We're opposed to the wars. Launching another war on the basis of bogus claims of weapons of mass destruction is going to be an election loser. And so he wants to hold off. Now, this is not sitting well with Netanyahu, who's fighting his own political battles at home. Because as of the last poll taken in Israel itself, 81% of Israelis oppose an Israeli strike on Iran if the U.S. and anybody else is not helping. They're all for it as long as other people will fight the war for them. But if it's just Israel in a unilateral strike on Iran and then having to face Iran's inevitable retaliation, 81% of Israelis are saying this is not really a good idea. And Netanyahu needs this war to maintain his political support within the Knesset. He needs a war to basically distract from all the domestic issues inside Israel And so he's out here trying to get Canada and the United States to go along with this. Stephen Harper would like to go along with it because they're basically as under the control of Israel's United States government. But on the other hand, Stephen Harper is also aware that if they back this strike on Iran and the U.S. doesn't, that's going to create diplomatic friction between Canada and the United States. So this is why these world leaders get the big bucks. It's not a clear black and white situation, and everybody's trying to figure out what's the best way out of it. My personal preference would be one of these asteroids they say is going to hit the Earth to drop right on Netanyahu's head, and then we're all better off, I think. Now, somebody just sent me this story that we're putting in at whatreallyhappened.com. Remember we were talking yesterday about how Obama came out with this new set of rules regarding the National Defense Authorization Act and its provisions for indefinite detention of American citizens without trial by the military on presidential order with no court review. And the White House issued this little statement saying, we are imposing our own rules, saying that we're not going to do that. Even though we have the authority, we're going to be really good people. We're not going to do it. And I said, it's just an election year propaganda. And somebody's just sent me an article. I'm not the only person who realized this. And they're talking, they're just saying it's just a public relations stunt. And it does not, in fact, limit his ability to go ahead and start arresting American citizens. By the way, the reason I'm coughing so much today, down over yonder to the southeast of us, we have this island which consists of an active volcano, or actually it sits over the active volcano. And there's been major quake and eruption activity, and at the same time, our normal trade winds, which would blow those effluents off to the southwest, have shifted. And we're getting some very unusual winds coming up out of the southeast, which means the VOG, which stands for volcanic smog, and it's orders of magnitude worse than anything you find over a city from human causes. This stuff is nasty. I used to live in Los Angeles. It never bothered me. This is blowing up all over the island chain, and just everybody's eyes are watering and we're having, so if you hear me coughing and going off to the cough switch, that's the reason for that. Nothing more serious than that. I'm not going to follow Andrew Breitbart into that good night anytime soon, or at least that's my intention. So anyway, we're looking at this situation. Netanyahu's got his little pom-poms and his short skirt on there saying, you know, give me an I, give me an R. He's on and on with that whole situation here. Meanwhile, over in Israel, they're now saying the best way to deal with the threat of Iran's nuclear weapons, of which they have precisely none, is they want sanctions that will starve the Iranian civilians. They want to just completely cut off the borders, don't let anything in or out, and let the Iranian civilians starve. Now, there's two problems with that. First of all, Iran is a very large place, and they've got a very good internal agricultural department. And while they couldn't export or import stuff anymore, and they would start to run out of refined oil products very quickly, unless they built a refinery, they could probably grow enough food to feed themselves. The other problem I have with this is, do you remember the story about how the Nazis encircled the Warsaw Ghetto and starved those people intentionally? And those were bad Nazis to starve the civilians. And here's Israel arguing for exactly the same thing. If it was evil then, it's evil now. And I don't like being associated with the evil side in our present rush to world war here. Now, here's something else that's kind of a little bit interesting. Netanyahu, as he's traveling around getting ready to go to APEC, he's out there bragging that Israel is now this top developed nation. That they've got all of this, their economy is booming, and they've got all this manufacturing, and they've acquired all these companies from the United States of America, and they've got all this wonderful stuff that's going on. And then he turns around and says, I need more money from the United States of America. And it's, I mean, Israel has been taking all of this money from the United States of America, and then they turn around and they find American companies they think would look really good in Israel, and they buy them. There's something really screwed up with that. Can't we keep our money back from Israel and buy those companies back and bring them back home with the jobs? We'll be right back after these commercials.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Do you want to be free yet find that credit card payments are still tying you down? Does it seem like you're not getting anywhere month after month, payment after payment? Do you wish that there was some way to end the slavery and save your money for your family instead? FreeToProsper.com has a solution you've been waiting for. Since 2007, we've been implementing an advanced debt repudiation program which legally ends unsecured debt payments, lets you keep your money, and protects your property. This is not another settlement, repayment, or consolidation program, but a true debt repudiation process that's helped hundreds of Americans all across the country start living better quality lives and prepare for an uncertain future. For a free consultation or to learn more, give us a call today at 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com right now. That's 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com.
A new book with a provocative viewpoint about where we are headed, who is taking us there, and why. And it's available now, today. Author, radio host, and research guru Howard Axtell presents his new book, The Human Food Factor. Our beliefs in harmony and hope are being replaced with fear and empty promises that simply don't hold water. False prophets bearing gifts continue to mold our planet in their own image for profit. They offer costly entitlements that we already paid for. Where did all our money go? Who took it? Who are they? Follow the money trail with author Howard Axtell and order a hard copy or ebook of The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com. This book is a must to connect the dots and to know the truth. To understand where America is headed, who is taking us there, and why. Do your part. Learn the facts. Order the book right now. Get a signed copy today on sale. The Human Food Factor at thehumanfoodfactor.com.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
America, welcome back to the show here. And remember, we were talking yesterday about this member of parliament who was forced to resign over a quote in which she said, Israel will not last forever. And I said at the time, as upset as Israel might be over that statement, it is eventually going to be true. No government has ever lasted forever. That's just a fact of history. And somewhere down the road, Israel will be gone. Something else will be in its place. Maybe the Hittites will come back and say, actually, that was our land before it was yours. Give it back. We're not sure. But it's a given that at some point in the future, Israel will be gone. So will the United States. So will Great Britain, for that matter. So we're wondering, you know, outside of Israel's normal megalomania, what was going on here? And it turns out there was a quote in the British press. They quoted more of the speech that got her on trouble, and there's something in there that I think is the real reason she was forced to resign. It's got nothing to do with saying Israel will eventually not exist anymore. Okay, let me give you the exact direct quote, word for word, as it was published in the British media. She said, Israel is not going to be there forever in its present form. One day, the United States of America will get sick of giving 70 billion pounds a year to Israel to support what I call America's aircraft carrier in the Middle East. That is Israel. One day, the American people are going to say to the Israel lobby in the USA, enough is enough, end quote. 70 billion pounds a year? At today's exchange rate, that works out to $111 billion. Let's all repeat that together, class. $111 billion with a B, dollars. That's a little tiny bit more than the $3 billion the U.S. government officially says they take from you, the American people, to give to Israel. No wonder they gave this lady the bum's rush. Can't let the American people know just how much tribute is being taken from them for their highnesses in Tel Aviv. $111 billion. And I know compared to the trillions all over Wall Street, it may seem like small potatoes. But there's a principle involved here. Nobody asked our permission to take $111 billion from the American people and give it to a country that seems intent on getting us involved in a nuclear war with Russia. That's a lousy deal. I'd rather spend that $111 billion on peace rather than annoying the rest of the world. $111 billion, that's the real cost. That's why they kicked her out. Ooh, boy. Talk about letting the cat out of the bag on that one here. Now, the United States is throwing its weight around that part of the world. Just to bring you up to date, we have this circumstance where the United States said to Iran, we're going to sanction you so you can't use dollars anymore for your commerce. And Iran said, okay, dollar's worthless anyway. We'll just go ahead and accept other currencies and even gold for our oil. And the United States said, you can't do that. We set up the entire world to be dependent on dollars so we could control the world. You can't just walk away and use some other currency. That was Gaddafi's mistake. State bank and a gold dinar. Of course we had to kill him. So now Iran has been talking about, yeah, we're going to sell our oil for gold and for other currencies, which of course means demand for dollars is going to drop, which would be a hammer blow on our already crippled economy. So now the United States of America is going back to Pakistan, who, as you know, loves us because of all those cruise missile attacks, drone attacks that are killing all their civilians. I'm sorry, the U.S. government says those are all terror suspects, including the little tiny ones. So the U.S. State Department, Hillary Clinton, is threatening Pakistan that if they go along with plans, there are already existing plans to build a pipeline to Iran, that the United States is going to sanction Pakistan. In other words, the United States is basically running around sanctioning or attacking anybody that doesn't want to deal with the dollar any longer. And what's going to happen with Pakistan is they're going to do exactly what Iran did. They're going to say, all right, we don't want your dollars anymore. Take your dollars and your drone strikes and go away. Don't invade us. We really do have nuclear weapons, so there. I think it's a panic move. I think it's an absolute panic move. Everything they're trying to do to get Iran to basically topple and fall back under the control of the United States of America, it isn't working. And the people of the world and the people of the United States of America are seeing exactly what this is all about. We have all of our politicians and the media screaming that Iran has been at war with the United States since 1979. No, actually, that's not true. As Ron Paul so cogently pointed out in the debate, to thunderous applause, I might add, it was the United States that attacked Iran in 1953 when the CIA overthrew the democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh and installed a puppet regime headed by the Shah. And the Iranian people put up with the Shah until 1979, and then they kicked him out. That's what the United States government is all whining about. You're not allowed to free yourself from our slavery, no matter how onerous it is. It's like this whole situation where they covertly put in Batista in Cuba. so that United Fruit and PepsiCo can get sugar and agricultural produce at below market rates. And the CIA's got Cuba to project power into the South America. And the Cuban people get just fed up with this whole situation, all the organized crime, the mafia and the casinos and the donkey shows and all that other corruption going on. And they kick out Batista and they put in Castro. And the United States says, what? You can't do that. You can't become independent of our imposed puppet government. And they've had a embargo on Cuba, you know, for, a long time now. Just to prove that the United States government knows how to carry a grudge. So it's getting interesting out there, and Hillary Clinton's running around trying to get support for war on Syria, war on Lebanon, war on Iraq, actually, war on anybody. You know, Hillary Clinton has got Israel's does not get a Hanukkah card list, and that's who they're going after. They used to wave around North Korea to prove that it wasn't just the U.S. doing Israel's bidding. Now they've made a deal with North Korea. So it's just back to, yeah, your kids are going to be sent to make war on Israel's targets in the Mideast. And every time they'll say, oh, they have nuclear weapons. They have Osama bin Laden. He came back from the dead. He's living in Afghanistan, and we've got to go in there. And they won't stop. We talk about the money junkies. There are also war junkies. The two are actually kind of interrelated. And they love war, and they're excited about it. Because they don't have to fight in it. They don't have to die in it. Anyway. Let's see. Moving right along to domestic stuff. Mitt Romney had a post-victory rally in Ohio. And 150 people showed up. I got to tell you, I just absolutely have lost all trust in the primaries this year, which means I don't trust the November elections. It's all bought. It's all rigged. It's all hoaxed. They're doing it right in front of your eyes. And because the American people are just saying, okay, they're stealing the election, but I guess I have to go watch American Idol now, they're just going to keep on doing it. They're basically just spitting in your face and telling you it's rain. And as long as you go along with it, you're going to get spit on a lot more. In my perfect republic of the future, which I would like to see come into existence when this government finally collapses, election fraud is a capital crime. And in this particular case, the death should be very slow and very public, as an example, because these are people who are stealing the entire country. Look how somebody who, like, steals your wallet, how long they're supposed to go to jail for, or somebody who comes into a 7-Eleven and empties out the cash register, and how long they go to jail for. And you're talking a few hundred, maybe a few thousand dollars, but then you have somebody who's stealing the entire nation, which is worth how many hundreds of trillions of dollars, and they're trying to steal it. They're stealing money from every single American when they're stealing the elections. And yet we don't seem to have a government that is at all interested in investigating or prosecuting vote fraud, which tells you that the existing government is in its position by vote fraud. So I would make election fraud a capital crime, death penalty crime. And I'm not a big supporter of the death penalty, but I'm willing to make an exception in this case. And more than that, I would have it as part of the Constitution that any candidate whose staff is caught engaging in election fraud is immediately disqualified from the contest. For this reason, if you cannot manage your own staff, you are automatically not qualified to manage a state or a nation. You want to be a leader? Let's see some leadership. Now, somebody was talking about over in Minnesota, the legislature is working on a new law that takes what is called the Castle Clause to what may be a very dangerous degree. Now, what do I mean by the Castle Clause? Many states have laws saying that if you are in your own home and somebody breaks in and you are feeling you are under threat, you may open fire on them. You are not legally required to retreat and just try and get out of the house and let them help themselves to your laptops and your jewelry and your silverware and the rest of it, which used to be the law. And people started wondering whose side is the government on when they're telling you, just get out of the house and let them take what they want. So this new law they're talking about in Minnesota is if you're outside anywhere on the street and you're feeling that you're under threat, doesn't have to be demonstrated. If you just suspect somebody's a threat, you can. It's now legal for you to take out your gun and shoot at them. I've got to tell you, you know, I'm all for self-defense inside your home. And I'm all for self-defense if you're out on the street and somebody actually does attack you. But this law looks like it's being passed in order to create some bad incidences that can be used to then argue against carry laws. Oh, we tried carry law and innocent people were being shot by these gun nuts. This looks like it's just tailor-made for a public relations disaster. And I know about the rule of 21 feet, where if somebody has a knife pointed at you and they're closer than 21 feet, they can probably injure you before you can get your gun out and shoot them. And I know about all of that stuff. But just the way this law is put together, where if you just suspect someone is a threat, you can shoot them, this is tailor-made to create media incidents that are going to be used against all carry laws anywhere in the country. So I got to be very, very careful about this one. All righty. Must be a lazy day. Nobody's calling in here. That's kind of unusual for this show. Now, down in Alabama, you remember not too long ago we were talking about the West Memphis Three, about how they were railroaded into jail, and for year after year after year they were trying to basically get a new trial. And when they finally got the DNA test evidence to force a new trial, all of a sudden Tennessee said, well, we're going to let you out, but only if you plead guilty so you can't sue us for wrongful arrest. Well, we've got another case like this. 30 years ago, a guy by the name of Thomas Arthur was convicted of murder. He's scheduled to be executed next month. The prosecution's case is very flawed against him. And there is a possibility that a DNA test could exonerate him. And the state of Alabama will not allow it. Is this justice? Or is this the justice system protecting itself from further embarrassment? We know there are wrongful arrests. We know there are wrongful prosecutions. We know there are wrongful convictions. We know there are wrongful executions. Which is why, in reality, all jokes aside, I don't support the death penalty. Because if you cannot give life back to somebody you wrongfully took it from, then you have no business taking it in the first place. Because the system is far from perfect. It is political. And people get executed by the state for political reasons. Bruno Richard Hauptmann being a very good case in point. So, now, I know that I am not normally an entertainment website and radio show, but the other night, because of all the Academy Awards it won, we did the pay-per-view thing, and we saw Hugo, Martin Scorsese's latest film. Now, I'm not a big Scorsese fan, and his last film, Shutter Island, I was actually asked to review for a local newspaper, and I just thought it really was not very good at all. And I didn't think the directing was good on Hugo. It ran over 2 hours. I could have gone into an edit bay and taken 30 minutes out of it, and I think it would have been a much more interesting movie. I think Scorsese loves to look at his own work too much. Now, the Oscars that it won were for cinematography, which was brilliant. The lighting was wonderful. Art direction, sound, and visual effects. Those were all excellent. They deserve their Oscars. The only reason I wanted to talk about the film is I had a little bit of a problem with it. The story basically involves this little waif boy named Hugo, who has inherited this mechanical automaton from his father, who dies very early on in the movie. It's a stellar cast, by the way. And there's this little toy booth in the train station where this kid maintains the clocks. And there's this very bitter old man in there who turns out to be Georges Méliès, who was the very famous French filmmaker. And the story is all about how everybody thinks he's dead and he's just doing this toy store thing to keep himself and his wife alive, and he thinks the world has forgotten about him. And it is an opportunity to see this movie, to see the restored surviving works of this man. And a lot of people don't realize he actually hand-tinted all of his movies. They were not printed up for bulk distribution, which is why so few surviving copies exist. There were only a few copies made, and they literally went in frame by frame on the film, painting the black and white images to give them color. And it's just amazing to see these things on the screen. And that was worth seeing the movie for. But I had a real problem because when they were talking about why George quit film and went out of business, they blamed it on World War One, and it had nothing to do with that. The last movie he made was Le Voyage dans la Lune, and from the Jules Verne story, and they put everything they had into this, what would be considered our time, a special effects blockbuster film. And this was when Thomas Edison's people were all over the world trying to enforce his patent rights on movies. And Edison's attitude was because he'd invented the movie camera, he owned everything connected with movies. And some of his agents got hold of a print, one of the colored hand-tint prints of From the Earth to the Moon, The Voyage to the Moon, rather. And they made copies. And when Meles came to the United States of America, where he thought he was going to make all of his money back, it was already in all of Edison's theaters. And that's how he went bankrupt. And I'm a little offended Scorsese didn't bother mentioning that. We'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Inflammation can cause pain and makes getting around a lot harder. Through injuries or just old age, it's important to use anti-inflammatories, but the natural way. You need relief. You need GDU. Daniel Chapter 1's GDU is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, a proteolytic enzyme that has helped thousands of people stop taking COX-2 inhibitors. They're deadly, can cause liver failure and kidney failure. Just to name a couple, side effects. GDU has been for years one of Daniel Chapter 1's customers' star products. Try all-natural GDU and feel the difference. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Get GDU, the natural anti-inflammatory. Use promo code 300A for a discount. That's promo code 300A. Call 800-504-5511 and get your GDU today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm just looking at the mail and text chat room stuff that's coming in here. Rather interesting little story that just came in the Mail Online, British media. And the headline reads, "I have to do my dishes by hand." And it's an article basically looking at all the outrageous quotes of all these Wall Street bankers who are finding it so hard to get by on only $350,000 a year. And they're saying things like, this is not the New York I wanted to have. And they're screaming and crying about how this latest financial legislation limits the amount of bonuses they can be given at the end of the year. And it's just so unfair. It really is. And it's amazing. They're going down talking about all the stuff these people have, and they're still whining and crying and saying about, it's really too small. I have to have four bedrooms. We must have a guest room. And they're going on this whole thing. And I think my favorite quote in this is by somebody named Delagash, I think is his name. And I'm trying to find the first name, and I can't. But basically, the favorite quote in there, Alan Delagash, and he says, people who don't have money don't understand the stress. My heart bleeds for you. Why don't you free yourself from that stress and return to the American people the more than $100 trillion you have looted from all of us? We'll take the stress for you. I'm really very good at handling stress. But if you think the stress of being rich is more intense than the stress of not knowing how you're going to pay next month's rent, I'll gladly trade places with you. This comes under the category of let them eat cake. And it shows how clueless and out of touch the money junkies are. They're being seen in a very unsympathetic light, and deservedly so. Now they're trying to come out, and they're trying to play for sympathy. Oh, you have no idea what it's like having to hand wash your Bugatti. So, no, we don't, and we're really not all that interested in that kind of a thing. I think most people, normal people, mentally healthy people, don't need to be filthy rich, 34-room house, and make the illegal immigrant sleep in the walk-in closet. I think most people, I know this is true for myself and my wife, we'd be very happy, basically we are happy in the circumstances that we're in right now. We'd like a little more security. We'd like to know that we're not going to all disappear in a blinding white flash of light in the near future, or that some invading horde isn't going to come in and grab what's left of what little that we have to feed some war machine. We'd like that. I think that's reasonable. I think everybody'd like a little bit of security. I think most people are willing to work at a job that they feel is productive and contributes to society. Anyway, we're going to take a little break here for the station identification, and when we come on back, we'll be taking more of your phone calls, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I understand that Manny is going to be sitting in the control room for hour number two to give Dan a chance to go out and remember what sky and clouds and grass actually look like. We'll be right back.